Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
I want to jump right in today. I have a special guest. His name, Dr. Warren Farrell. He gets life, love, and relationships. He's so good at explaining relationship dynamics and how to make them work for the better. Dr. Farrell, by the way, has a new book that's called Roommate to Soulmate, The Seven Secrets to Lifelong Love. Let's jump right in. Warren, what an honor to have you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
It's really an honor to be with you, and the work you're doing is helping so many people, and just I love being allied with you.
Warren, in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes 9:9, the Bible says, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. All the days of your life, because that's your calling and your blessing in this life. But that's a pretty tough assignment, Warren, when it seems like everything's coming against our love in marriage, our relationships. You know, I think the pace, the pressure, the pain of modern-day life just kind of spins couples out of control, and before long, you're just wondering what happened to the two of us. Warren, as you scan the landscape out there of couples and more, what are you seeing and what really has your attention?
I see exactly what you're saying. I see people, when they first meet each other and they have that physical contact, they're sort of, they feel that they've fallen in love and they're really excited. And then as relationships go on, many things happen. Four of them are what I call the four C's. Oftentimes somebody expresses a concern that they feel a little bit troubled about, and rather than walk on eggshells, they sort of try to express that concern, and they're watching for the right time and the right moment. And then instead of getting a good response, the person who is hearing that concern feels criticized. And it's biologically natural when you hear criticism to perceive yourself as having met an enemy. And so historically speaking, when we met an enemy, it was functional to survive, to get up our defenses, or to kill the enemy before the enemy killed us. That was functional for survival. It's just terrible for love, but it's in all of us. And so, you know, the thing that I had to invent before I was inspired to write the Roommate to Soulmate book was I had to invent a way that people could handle personal criticism without becoming defensive. And not only without becoming defensive, but to associate the possibility of that criticism with creating security for our partner, which would then allow our partner to be able to hear, feel secure, feel more loved, and therefore feel more loved for us. So to take that into a little nutshell there, to be able to experience when they were hearing the criticism, an opportunity to be more deeply loved. And that was what was biologically unnatural. And that is what I had to invent a way to get couples to be able to do in order to handle the first of those four C's.
You know, Warren, I remember when Julie and I were crazy in love as kids. And we were determined, it didn't matter what anyone was going to tell us, we were going to get married and live happily ever after. We were going to be different. And boy, did that change quick. And I'm telling you, we were like two ships passing in the night. We somehow got lost early on in our relationship, Warren. And you remember that old saying, the first cut is the deepest. And all of a sudden, this person who's supposed to love you, to be there for you, someone that you can feel safe with, all of a sudden is, like you said, almost an enemy. And it's like you wake up in the middle of the night and you look over and you think to yourself, I don't know what happened to us. I see a lot of couples getting into that place, Warren, but probably the greatest concern is whether or not they can navigate that early, those early storms in their relationship. And you're right. This issue of criticism, let's stay with it for a moment. Everybody's going to have concerns. It's like all of a sudden the scales come off and there are things about you that I liked, but there are some things about you that I'm learning that I don't like. And it's like when we get into trouble, some of the things I liked about you also become the things I don't like about you anymore. Warren, help us understand that journey up front and why couples often fail to navigate that. And before long, they just feel like islands in a marriage and loneliness is what's taken over.
Absolutely. First of all, everything you said exactly correct. And so what I ask the couple, what I require of the couples in my workshops to do, and then I have taken the best of this out and put it into the Roommate to Soulmate book, is I ask them to set aside every week a caring and sharing time, which is just 2 hours. And it starts with two appreciations of your partner and ends with two appreciations of your partner. And you're limited to just one concern that you share with your partner. But before you share that concern with your partner alters their natural biological state to be able to, instead of responding defensively, to read out loud 6 mindsets that their partner hears them read out loud. And as a result of hearing them, knows that their partner is preparing themselves to be able to associate that personal criticism with an opportunity to be more deeply loved. So one of the things I have everybody in the workshop do is to say, to sit opposite each other and to write an answer to this question. If your partner was about to be killed at this very moment, but you knew with 100% certainty you could save their life, but you also knew that there was a 50% chance of losing your own life in the process, would you do it? Yes, no, uncertain. And take children out of the equation. And so about 90% of the men say, yes, I would do it, certain. About 80% of the women say, yes, I would do this. So the first mindset that I have people meditate into is, if I'm willing to die for you, the least I can do is listen to you. And it helps put listening to your partner in perspective. And then the second thing that I mentioned before is sort of what I call the love guarantee. If I provide that safe and secure environment for whatever you say, no matter how you say it, even if I completely disagree with it, even if your tone of voice is something that's sarcastic or something else that would normally turn me off, the worse your exaggeration is, the more secure you'll feel if I'm able to be with you for that. And just know that when I hear you completely, and I ask you then after I hear you, here's what I heard you say. Did I distort anything? Did I miss anything? Is there anything new you'd like to add? When I do all that for you, you will feel like maybe you've said the same thing 100 times before and never felt heard. This time you will feel heard. And as a result of that, this criticism actually turns into this security blanket that I can be able to express whatever I need to express, and it will be experienced as an opportunity to deepen our love rather than to feel that I have to walk on eggshells all week.
Yeah. Warren, what do you say to couples who maybe are turning this up here for a moment? They're in a difficult relationship. They want to see change. They've tried a lot to bring about change, and it really hasn't worked. And it seems like when they risk, when they become vulnerable because, again, they want it really bad, but they keep getting repeatedly hurt, it's like, I'm not doing this until you prove to me that you've changed and that you genuinely care. I can't go there. Warren, how do you help them through these kind of exercises? Is it just showing up and doing the work and making it work? Or how do you set the table, I guess, for people to engage, especially when they feel repeatedly violated or hurt?
Absolutely. First, you don't have, no one changes ahead of time. That is, you criticize them. Again, from your perspective, it's not a criticism. It's opening up about what you need. But as long as they're experiencing it as a criticism, they may change, but it's a challenge for them to really change easily because they're not really feeling supported and loved. So that's the reason why it's so important to set aside that time where before you feel you hear your partner's fears and concerns, that you alter your natural biological self of defensiveness. But before you do that, it's also important to know how to appreciate each other and have an appreciation of each other is both an art and a discipline. So for example, when I teach somebody to appreciate their partner, it's at multiple levels of specificity. So for example, if, let's say you're at Thanksgiving and you say, oh, isn't my wife a great cook? That is really sweet and nice. But if you say, isn't my wife a great cook? Sweetie, how do you get the skin on that turkey so crisp? That's so wonderful. Now you're beginning to let your wife know that you really have seen something besides just the generality. And then you say something like, well, you know, and what got the dressing got so moist? That's wonderful. I just love moist dressing rather than it being all dry like you get in restaurants. How do you do that, especially while you're simultaneously getting the skin so crisp? And so you keep moving, and then, you know, what this isn't that turkey really well spiced? And so rather than just saying really well spiced, you become specific. Was that parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme, or, you know, some other Simon and Garfunkel spice you put into that? And so as you dig deeper and you simultaneously express curiosity about what created the positive outcomes, your wife or your husband feels really appreciated and seen. And once you're appreciated and seen, it is so much easier than to handle your partner's concern. And so those are the first two steps out of multiple steps that I hopefully come across in the Roommate to Soulmate book.
So Warren, if I'm hearing you correctly, we're trying to help people do non-defensive listening. The natural response to criticism when somebody criticizes you is to get defensive. But somehow in here, the significance or the importance of, quote, being heard, and also, by the way, listening to or hearing criticism is effort. It's work. But it's one of the key elements if you're going to, quote, break through and build intimacy between the two of you. Closeness is really what I like to describe it. I just want to be close with you. I want that kind of relationship. So this non-defensive listening is really then this caring and sharing time. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So what you're putting your finger on now is so important. So in the workshop before the Roommate to Soulmate book was titled that way, the subtitle of the workshop was The Art and Discipline of Love. And what you just put your finger on is the discipline. You discipline yourself to do this caring and sharing process once every week. And the appreciations, you set aside a night where you just share maybe three appreciations with each other that are very specific. It only takes about 15 minutes. But you do it even when you're not at that particular moment. Let's say Liz and I, my wife and I, do this every Wednesday night. And we're not necessarily, neither one of us have thought of three appreciations. We're sort of starting from ground zero. And then we're sort of, so the discipline is just going into your head and saying, reviewing what happened in the last week or so, and digging up an appreciation that you then share. And at the end of sharing those things, it really feels better. But there's something that you said that I really want to make it really clear. There's a big distinction between doing this and doing active listening. Active listening almost never works without a therapist present. And the reason for that is that active listening is involved with one person saying what they're upset about and the other person not being able to first meditate into this altered state where they associate the criticism with an opportunity to be loved. So instead of that, they're associating the criticism with being hurt, like they would be in when people are normally attacking somebody else. But active listening then requires you to repeat what you've just not been able to hear very well. And so that's one of the reasons, that's the main reason why it is almost never done without a therapist present. And I wanted to be, and the therapist present means that you have to be able to afford a therapist. And so what I wanted to invent was a way to have this be able to be, your partner to be able to be heard and feel loved without having a therapist present, to be able to have everybody be able to afford this.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here, along with my son, Zach. Our special guest today, Dr. Warren Farrell. He is a New York Times bestselling author of several books, including The Boy Crisis, a book about renewing our son's sense of purpose and helping them become men, fathers, leaders, and worthy of our respect. His most recent book, that's what we're talking about today, Roommate to Soulmate, reveals solutions to the seven most important barriers to sustaining love. Been interviewed by Oprah, Barbara Walters, Jordan Peterson, Larry King. He's everywhere. He's one of my favorites. Dr. Farrell, again, coming back. I guess that's what you're saying here about then the difference between, and people need to understand this, falling in love is one thing. Having sustaining love is a whole nother deal. And people get, oh, that's the piece that means, yeah, we're trying to figure this out and actually keep our hands clasped together. And to kind of grow old in love together is what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And that requires many things that we're really not biologically prepared to do and that we really have to learn to do. So when I do this in workshop form, many people come out excited and they, you know, even if they file for divorce, they tell their lawyer to take that, you know, stop the process. I feel really good about it. But I then started installing 2 months, 3 months later, I'd have a follow-up call. And maybe half the people in the workshop, they practiced it and it really worked. The other half of the people in the workshop, you know, they didn't practice it, or they did, you know, a meditation that really didn't work, or it was like going to, let's say the workshop is like going to a gym to get a really good instruction on how to exercise. And then thinking, all right, I got it. But then never exercising again. And so this process requires practice. It's not for the timid at heart, and it's not for the ones that think that they can just solve a problem by just, you know, reading the book once. You really have to put the book into practice or put the workshop into practice. It's not it doesn't come naturally. And there's, besides appreciating each other, and besides being able to do the caring and sharing the 2 hours a week, it also requires knowing how to create a conflict-free zone the other 166 hours a week. And that does not mean a criticism-free zone. Your partner will say something that, again, is just from the partner's perspective, a suggestion for doing something better and to bring with the hope of greater intimacy. And you'll experience it as criticism, and you'll want to respond to that so you're not criticized and hurt by your partner. So you respond to it, and then almost invariably it will escalate, and the end result is you are just ready to go out to church or some other wonderful activity, and what happens? You get into a fight just before that, and so you're in at the church sort of like, you know, grasping onto the grief you've just experienced. And so it really requires us to know, to take that to vision. Once you've done the caring and sharing, and you know that you have a place to feel really heard and listened to by your partner and seen by your partner, then what I train couples to do is to visualize, as their partner is criticizing them, two options. Option one is to respond to that criticism, which will almost always result in your partner responding to your criticism of their criticism, and things will escalate. Or alternatively, you visualize that I have a 100% chance of being heard about whatever what my response is in that caring and sharing hour.
When you're in love, it's a beautiful place to be. To love and be loved, it's the essence of life. It's the heart cry, I think, of the soul. And growing old with someone, you start thinking about, how can I make sure you know how much I loved you or I appreciated you persevering with me through the years? You know that? I'm grateful for that. I think about Julie and a lot of the conversations we've been having lately. And I think about life can be pretty brutal, and people can naturally go through times or periods of disaffection when they don't feel close. For whatever reason, there's so much coming at them that it's really hard to stay close. I guess as we press toward the end of the broadcast here, I'm just thinking about love from your perspective. You know, as you reflect back, God's brought you into a lot of relationships with people like John Gray, the Gottmans, so many other people, all this marriage and relationship world, and you've spent hours and hours looking under the hood, if you will, at relationships and what makes them work or not work. But just from your heartfelt sense, Tim, get this stuff right here, right. This is the gold. This is the feral gold, if you will.
Yes, the feral goal is to know that this is not for the people who just think that they can get the answer in one round. This is something that one needs to practice, and don't feel badly that you need to practice it. It is biologically natural to be defensive in response to criticism. And as I said before, it was functional for survival. It's just not functional for love. Historically, our parents and our grandparents, they had to worry about survival. We have this great new gift to be able to focus on love and not just being role mates, but being soulmates. Let's take advantage of it. And when we do it, it is both for my partner and myself, but it is also the very best gift we can give to our children. It takes practicing over and over again. It takes nuance. It takes things like play together. Couples that play together stay together to a much greater degree. So learn about all of these things. Practice them. Remember that when criticism appears, wisdom disappears. So it really requires a practice, not just an intellectual learning of something.
Kind of suit up and show up every day. Do the work, and it never stops. This is something that you do 24/7, 365 for the rest of your life. And when you do the work, when you put in the work, it's like getting up, make your bed, get something going, get it going down the highway. That's when you probably are most blessed. And by the way, I love to say it this way, Dr. Farrell, and that is, couples or families that pray together, play together, eat together, probably stay together. So grateful for you and your book, Roommate to Soulmate. It actually, again, it reveals the solutions to the seven most important barriers to sustaining love. And I'll tell you what, if you're on a journey in your relationship, that's why we come to you every day on this station right here, trying to speak into your most intimate relationships with God and others closest to you. Our mission is to help you enjoy what we've been talking about during the broadcast, what it means to love and be loved. Dr. Farrell, again, what a joy to have you. Always honored, and going to pray that God continues to strengthen your voice and the message you have on helping strengthen our relationships and our families. What a delight. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be with you, and you just ask such good questions, and you listen so well, and then come back with such wonderful follow-up questions. Thank you for the gift that you bring to the world.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.